Hey, good morning, all. So we're up to Parak Zion, Chapter 7, Mishnah Beis, continuing to discuss the various laws and processes of roasting the Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah says as follows. We mentioned yesterday that you need to fully, you need to fully roast the Korban Pesach, and you cannot cook it in any other way, shape, or form. So that includes, we mentioned that you need to use a certain type of wood that doesn't have any moisture, so that the moisture of the wood doesn't cook any part of it. Needs to be fully roasted. So the Mishnah and the Perek continues over here. Ain solenes a Pesach, lo al shapur, lo al askala. A person cannot roast the Korban Pesach on any sort of metal spit or a metal grill, and the reason why essentially is because if you do it in this way, then the metal itself, from the heat of it, will end up cooking the Korban Pesach and not the actual fire which is meant to roast it. So therefore, you're not allowed to do that. Amar Rabbi Sadok says, Masa Barman Gamil, Samar Latavi Avdo, there was an incident that happened with Rabban Gamil that he told his servant, the famous servant that comes up several times throughout Shas, that Rabban Gamil told his servant Tavi that Tsei Utsle Lanu Esa Pesach Alas Kala. He said exactly, seemingly this, to go out and roast the Korban Pesach on a grill for us. So the Gemara essentially explains this mission over here, and essentially there's something missing over here, that when we say you can't roast something on a grill, it means if the metal bars are very close to one another, but if the metal bars are far, there's a large enough gap in between them that essentially it's not going to do much, that the fire will still be able to come up and reach the Korban Pesach almost the same, therefore that's considered roasting, and so you can roast it on a grill as long as there are very large gaps in between the rods. So that's how we explain that story. Then the mission says, Naga b'karso shelton, or when you cook your Korban Pesach, again, on the spit over the fire, and you're cooking it in an earthenware oven. So if the meat touched anywhere on the earthenware wall of the oven, what do you have to do? You have to peel off the place where it touched. Why? Because essentially the heat of the earthenware oven will have cooked that small little spot, and you can't eat that because that part is not roasted. Therefore, you have to cut. Peel that part off. Nataf meirat bo al hacheres v'chazar lav. If you have a Korban Pesach cooking and some juice, so the juice drips off the Korban Pesach and then onto this hot earthenware surface, and then it kind of comes back up into the Korban Pesach, right? So this juice was therefore cooked by the hot earthenware oven and not in a roasting situation, and then it comes back up to the Korban Pesach. He told us makomo. In that situation, you have to remove the place where the juice came. So this is a little bit more you have to remove, because if it just touched the surface of the oven and then you just peel back the skin, if the juice popped up, then we say you have to remove essentially like a finger's width of meat from that area, because that's how much the juice is said to have absorbed. But let's say nataf mirat bo ala solas, you have your Korban Pesach cooking and roasting, and there's some flour in the oven. So let's say some juice from the Korban Pesach drips onto that flour. So what do you do with that flour then? So yikmotz es komo, you take a handful of that flour that was there and you remove it, because this juice is essentially considered to have been cooked by the hot flour. Therefore, that whole area of flour would be considered invalid. So you throw all that out, then everything is good in the world. Mishnah Gimel, Sacha v'shemen truma. So we said that we don't cook our Korban Pesach with anything, but you could put a small amount of oil or juice on it, but no water. Sacha v'shemen truma. So let's say you put a little bit of oil, that's truma, on it. So if the group of people that are eating from the Korban Pesach are kohanim, then great, then they could eat it and enjoy it and all is well in the world. But in Yisrael, if the group is a group of Yisraelim, in this situation, if the meat is still raw, you realize, oh man, we just put truma on this, but none of us can eat it. So in this situation, if the Pesach is still raw, then you can just rinse it off. You rinse it off, the Korban Pesach is not said to have absorbed anything, and everything is good in the world. But if it is roasted already, after this truma oil was smeared on it, well then all you have to do is just peel away that layer of meat, again, essentially, if it was oil, so it was probably absorbed a little bit deeply, so you just pull off that meat, and then all would be well in the world. Sacho b'shemen al shel ma'aser sheni, if you smeared this with oil, that's ma'aser sheni, so again, any person seemingly can eat it, as long as it's in Yerushalayim. Well, the only problem is that you cannot charge for it. So lo ya'asenu damim al b'nei chibur, you cannot charge the value of this oil to the rest of the people in your group. You made a mistake, you should not have really put this on there if you wanted to get money out of it. So if you did, you just can't charge anyone. Why? She'in podim ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim, because we cannot redeem the value of Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and therefore you can't charge for it. But again, seemingly everyone can eat it because you are in Yerushalayim already. Okay, that brings us to the end of Mishnah Gimel. God willing, tomorrow we'll continue with Mishnah Dalet.